This is Hypothetical Help with Scott and Terpster, neither of whom are actual therapists or counselors. Any advice given on this show is truly hypothetical.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hypothetical Help. This is episode 31 of Hypothetical Help. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me on this brand new New Year's edition.
New year, new help.
31 of season 3 is the Terpster, Mark Turpin. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing,
Scott? I'm good. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Did you have a good New Year?
I did. The holidays went fast. We had about 1,000 relatives here all week. Well, for about 2 weeks, really.
Catholic? And, is that
what it is? No. My wife's got a big family in Texas. Okay. So they flew up, and I have a bunch of, there were some people from Illinois and some from California.
I bet people just, with that many family members, I bet the locals have cottoned on, and they figure, well, we might as well just go along to Scott's house. He won't recognize anyone there anyway.
Kind of.
So you bet you just get some randoms just turn up.
Yeah, and we end up being kind of the go-to house for the party stuff, not because we have exceptional room or anything. It's because my wife is a freak and will make, like, food every day, and... It's like
I'm hungry.
The hospitality suite of the valley here at my house. So,
that's good.
I'm glad for one to have kind of some of that stuff over with, but it all went way too fast, and you know, my kids are getting too old, and therefore I am, and you know, nobody believes in Santa around here anymore. Dude.
Over the hill, really? No one?
No, man. Nick's 10.
Not even you?
No, he's done. Well, I want to believe. I do.
Yeah. And so when did Nick stop believing?
Last year when he was 9. Yeah.
What happened?
He went to my wife, sat down and said, "Mom, is Santa Claus fake?" And she was like, "Whoa." Like, she's never been asked that way.
You sure you don't want to know where babies come from? Because I can tell you right now where babies come from.
That would have been worse.
Ready for that.
Yeah. And we've had that talk too. Boy, that was fun. Anyway, he was kind of onto it. Like, you know, he sort of knew, and she just didn't have the heart to string him along.
To carry on the charade.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter, when she was 7, questioned the existence of Santa. And of course, this is a parent's right to lie to their kids for years.
Exactly. It's like, whoa, are you going to be good? No, I'm not going to be good. Well, all right, then Santa's not going to bring you any presents.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they know you will, because you have to. You love them. You're their parent.
Right.
Don't know about Santa. He's got no attachment other than his simple rule of naughty or nice.
No, it's a horrible, horrible world we live in, because that's what Santa does. And this is what she said. "Dad, I don't believe in Santa. My cousin said he doesn't exist." I said, "Oh, well, we better call him and see how he feels about it." Handed her a phone. Went on the other line and had my wife, I walked out of the room. I don't remember how I convinced her that I didn't need to be there, but had my wife help her dial Santa. And then I played Santa on the other line going, "Hur, hur, you know, doing my whole thing." And I basically shamed her into thinking I still existed, or he still existed.
Brilliant. And now she still to this day demands that Santa's real. No word of a lie. I spoke to him on the phone.
Yeah. She ribs me about it. She's like, "I can't believe you did that to me. I was just a little kid. And I'm like, "This is what parents do, man. This is our job. The one time we get to lie. Yeah, the one time we're supposed to lie to you, we get to. So I'm taking advantage of it."
Yeah, you should do. So, I like that. It's good. Yeah. I was wondering like that they might have discovered it, like seeing like you in your pants dropping off like the presents at the bottom of the bed, like at like 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
And just being like, "Oh, I can't be bothered anymore."
Well, me and my Korean brother. This last story I'll tell, but we went, it's Christmas, probably 80 something. I don't know what it was. And me and my brother, who knew hardly any English, this is Ding Pong, by the way, the inspiration for Ding Pong.
Yeah. But I say not actually his real name, but
no. So he and I sneak down in the middle of the night, try to see what's what, but we're not turning on any lights. We knew my dad was up late doing something. We just can't stand it. So we're down there and we're just kind of feeling around trying to see if we can tell what we're touching. And we
this could end badly.
We're touching something, but we're not sure what it is. It's kind of sticky, but we don't know what that means. It smells a little weird, but we don't know what that means. We're young and we're excited, whatever. So
is this a repressed memory by any chance?
No, this is a true. Okay. This is a absolutely true memory, and I remember this so vividly. So I go to bed. We wake up in the morning, and here's the first thing we see when the lights come on, because it was pitch black and we were down there. It's like 2 in the morning. The pillow and the blankets and the bed are covered in red something. Like red all over the place. And my brother's was like red and green. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. It was like holiday blood, right? And so we look at our hands. Our hands are covered in whatever this is. And our like pajamas are covered in red. We go downstairs. And the wall leading all the way to where the tree and everything was, little handprints of red and green. And we get down there. And what my dad had bought used bikes, the cheapskate.
Yeah,
and then painted them
the night before.
Just previous, like midnight. And so they have
that way they look really nice on Christmas Day. I'm gonna leave it another couple of weeks. Till Christmas Eve to paint them. Then they look good.
And they're of course horribly painted now because they got handprints all over them. So it was my dad was so ticked. He's like, I can't believe you guys did that. It was Matt's idea, and he was like, I don't know. You know, he didn't know. Anyway,
where I come from, that's what we do.
Now that was a good ding pong right there.
You cannot get away with that.
But hey, we should tell people what this show's about.
Yep, it's all about Christmas.
It's a post-Christmas episode of Hypothetical Help, where we talk about real problems people have. We try to give real advice, at least the best we know how. And we have some calls today. First call, long-distance baby-having girlfriend. That probably says it all. Ooh. Check it out.
Hi, Terpster and Scott. That'd mix it up. My name's Johnny, and I have a girlfriend. I've never actually... Well, we met online, and we've never actually met. We sort of talk 1 or 2 hours every day on Skype. And, we've been doing this for over a year, and we basically both feel like we're going out. But she lives in Canada, and I live in Northern Ireland, so it's a little bit difficult actually getting to meet. Anyway, she had a bit of a traumatic experience and got pregnant from it. So I think you can understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to drag it down or anything, but so she now has a baby because of this. And my question is, I'm wondering how to tell people about my girlfriend, because I love my girlfriend and I love the little baby too. Thanks very much. Oh, and this is from Johnny in Northern Ireland.
What?
I don't know. Like I said, in Ireland, they have a lot of electrical generators everywhere. Can't get very good cell phone reception, but you can. You don't even need to buy a microwave. You just leave the food out, and it's, toasty warm. Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought all that, you know, Ireland-British problem stuff arose from, like, religious things and from political things. No, it was because they demanded all of the... interference causing generators that Britain had.
And we liked those. And then they just took them and, but in fairness, this guy's calling from Northern Ireland. So he's kind of on our side.
All right.
So it's all good. Right. So yeah, good. We're all good. It's all great. Forever.
I understand. Well, so he's got this issue and it sounds like a pretty serious one, but
I don't see it as an issue, Scott.
Well, I'm going to say this, dude. I think that what he's thinly veiling and he's trying to not come right out and say is that this girl is probably pregnant from probably a rape or something terrible.
Mm.
That's what it sounds like, some awful experience like that. And that is a terrible and a hard thing to deal with. But one thing that I'm encouraged with here is it sounds like he really cares for her.
Yeah.
And that this situation hasn't put him off or made him go, oh, I don't know about this or whatever. And that's a huge step in its own. That's a call all by itself. So
it is. And yet the call he's asked for, it seems completely simple to me. You know, you've got a girl and you're on a long distance relationship. You know, it's like back in the old day, you would have been pen pals, which is kind of rubbish compared to now because you would have kind of spoken through your scrawling scripts every couple of months.
Yes.
You know, whereas now you're talking for a couple of hours every day actually to each other. And even with the magic of computers, you could probably even see each other if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't see any problem at all. If one of my friends said that they had a girlfriend they met online, then I wouldn't have any issues at all with that. You know, I completely am behind it. But then again, I'm kind of inside that world almost. You know, I know about internet relationships. You know, we've all played World of Warcraft for a long time. We've seen relationships spring up through that. It almost feels normal. Whereas I know that for people who aren't really into kind of computers as such, and the internet's still a little bit satanic to them, maybe a little bit daunted. Like, you know, how do you tell your mum? Oh yeah, mum, I got a girlfriend. Oh brilliant, when do we get to meet her? Well, depends on how often you want to fly to Canada, really. You know, if you're fancying doing it this weekend, we could go now.
Yeah.
And that is weird for a lot of people, that whole thing of, you know, well, hang on, you haven't met and yet you're going out. But you may know each other better than people who, you know, live across the street from each other and have, you know, been going out with for a couple of weeks, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. The fact you haven't met physically doesn't mean everything.
Well, then you have the extra stage, which is, oh, and... Okay, let's say you've got parents or relations or people that understand the internet thing. Okay, so they're all right with that. But then you say, well, and she's got this baby. Oh, where'd the baby come from? Well, there's this story, and it's hard, and it's this.
But do you have to? I don't think you'd have to mention that. I honestly think, you know, she's got a baby. It's from a previous relationship. You don't have to bring up anything like that because it's not going to be something I doubt she wants to talk to everyone about or explain about.
Agreed.
If I was her, you know, it would just be, okay, this is my son or daughter or whatever it is. You know, I'm not with the father, but, you know, I'm looking to make a go of it with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, you know, I don't know. I don't see it being part of conversation or anyone else's business, really.
Yeah.
You know, that side of things, it's a little bit.
I think I could not agree more with that. I think that you can keep as much of this private as you like. And I also think you should. You know, there's always this issue of like, well, what are people going to say? What are they going to think? What are they going to do? And it's one thing if you're like a kid living with your parents and they're about to kick you out for whatever thing it is you're doing. Let's say you joined some cult that likes to burn monkeys at the stake. Mm. And they're just really upset about that.
Toasted monkeys, yeah.
So they kick you out of the house. Well, yeah. That's rough and that can be trouble until you're out on your own. But when you're out on your own, I'm a huge believer in this idea of sort of F what everyone else thinks. Do what you want to do. And do it in a, you know, as long as you're not hurting anyone, then you should be able to sort of bravely and stoically take whatever stand you want. And in this particular case, I don't think you should worry what other people think. I mean, it's easy for me to say that, and it's going to be on your mind. And there are certain parts of my personality where I let what people think totally get under my skin, too. So I'm not immune to this, so certainly. But it's something I'm always trying to conquer, which is, do what's in your heart and then screw everyone else and let them find their own way. It doesn't matter what their opinion is.
Ultimately, that'll make you happy, hopefully.
Right.
And that's the end goal, really. I think also for this, my other advice would be is, while obviously currently your love exists in this virtual plane, is try to try and bridge that, you know, kind of physical gap as soon as you're able to. Either you go to see her, she comes over to see you. If you are serious about it, as lovely as long distance can be, there's nothing that can replace an intimate relationship with two people. So it gets really tricky when it comes down to things like visas and actually staying with someone. And that's when you almost have to rush into things like marriage if you want to stick around with each other. And obviously every country's immigration laws are different. But I've known quite a few people who've met online people have lived, say, in England and in America, and they've been stuck between the two places. And then they've got married either in England or in America, but then things still haven't quite worked out in terms of visas. And then ultimately you can still get separated. So it's a dangerous sort of relationship to have in many ways, because you risk another kind of heartbreak on part of neither of your kind of faults, but could be just literally in terms of getting together afterwards. So it's worth, I don't know what I'm trying to say here really, other than, you know, just investigate the law and just see how possible the relationship is. Obviously, I'm not saying, you know, you find out, oh, it can't happen, let's ditch it, because obviously that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I honestly think that as lovely as it is at the moment, you should seriously consider how to feasibly make it work with both of you being together in the same place.
Plus, you want to do that for all the reasons you just cited, but also because you need to just confirm that this is all what you think it is. Because I'm not a naysayer on this. This may be the most ultimate awesome relationship in the history of the world, and you guys getting together will just you know, finalize that. We'll put the cherry on top or whatever.
Yeah.
But I, you know, you got to know that. So to know that, you got to get together. You can't, like, the long distance thing. See, for all I know, Terpster and I have never stood in the same approximate space.
No.
For all I know, I meet you for the first time we in this fisticuffs. You know, I don't know. We think right now, Terpster and Scott totally get along. They're best internet friends ever. And they get together and it's like, oh, I'm going to kill him. you know.
Yep. He gets on my nerves.
We don't know.
With his damn English accent. What's he doing? You know.
We just don't know until it happens. Know. And so you guys need to do that same
again,
thing.
Again, in this dynamic, it doesn't matter because for this to work, we don't actually need to.
No,
but
right.
For you guys to have a relationship, sooner or later, you will have to meet, really, I think. Yep. I don't know. That might be really kind of short-sighted of me. Maybe there's some sort of transcending physical connection. But I would say 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100 or maybe even 999 times out of 1,000, it's going to be better if you guys are together. Yes. So I think that's worthwhile as well, just because then also if it works, if you think you guys have a connection already, I'd be fairly confident that will translate as well.
Yeah.
But like I said, the main thing is I'm sure you guys already know it's very frustrating, obviously, being apart. But yeah, then obviously it becomes a lot easier telling people about your girlfriend because it's a lot more kind of what they're used to. Oh yeah, that's my girlfriend. She's from Canada. This is her child. He's my child as well now, kind of. I'm his dad.
Yeah.
Her dad or whatever. You know, because I think that's really beautiful that you guys have got that connection. But again, you don't know how that will work and how that all fits together till you find a way of her coming to you or you going to her and kind of building a life together.
Yeah, and F everyone else. That's
yeah,
the main, that's
screw
the main
him.
Thing. Screw him.
Screw him.
Speaking of screwing him, no, there's no transition here.
we got a
call from Holly. Okay. Holly has it's still appropriate, even though Christmas is over, I think it's an appropriate thing, especially now. Let's get it while the iron's hot. She has a question about her name and the holiday she thinks or her friends think it represents.
Hey, Scott and Terpster. I have a problem that only comes during one time of year, Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Every December, people seem to realize for the first time that my name is Holly and always ask if I was born on Christmas. I was not. Others think that they are super creative and that it's funny to sing Have a Holly Jolly Christmas to me. It's not creative and it's not funny. What can I do to stay sane and not maim the stupid people? Any advice you can give is appreciated. Thanks.
She sounds cute.
Deck the halls with calls from Holly. I don't know.
With calls from Holly.
I think it's the problem of the name. You know, Holly, I've just Wikipedia'd it. Holly is an English name given that it's mostly feminine use.
Mm-hmm.
The name derives from the name of the plant from the Old English word Holland. Because holly is used as a decoration at Christmas, holly is a name given to girls born around that time.
Mm.
So, I mean, Wikipedia says it's true. So are you sure you weren't born at Christmas? Maybe you're confused about your birthday. Maybe that's what happened.
You know, I'm trying to think, like, everyone's got an issue with their name. So mine was Scotty Potty or Scott the Pot or, you know, Scotty Snotty or all these stupid variations on Scott. And
mine's worse is that there's a highwayman who went by the name Richard Turpin, or more commonly Dick Turpin. So often I would get called Dick, and you know, and then you have and it's really the older generation tend to do it.
Yeah,
but again, Wikipedia a couple of months back had their featured article on the front page was Dick Turpin.
Nice.
And I had loads of people tweet me going like, hey Terpster, you seen Wikipedia? There's a guy with your name. I'm like, yeah, I've
especially like these American don't know nothing about Dick Turpins. That's great.
But it's one of those things where, you know, it can get old quick.
Yeah.
But as you're saying, like, everyone has it. But at the same time, I'm just trying to think, you know, the only Holly I can think of is Buddy Holly. I don't know. Are there any famous Hollies? I can't think of any.
No, I knew some Hollies growing up. I had the major ass crush on a girl named Holly in high school that I just thought, oh my gosh, Holly.
Is that what you find this girl's voice attractive?
I find her voice attractive. Or she just sounds really cute. I don't know if she is or not. And if she's super young, then I apologize for sounding creepy, but she has a nice voice. I can't tell how old she is.
That's fine. It's all legal on audio.
Look, the names you don't want are names like Mistletoe or well, yeah, we could go that far and say Sphincter is the name you don't want.
Sphincter would be the name I wouldn't name my child. Unless they looked at me funny, in which case I'd be like, okay, payback.
Yeah.
You know, Sphincter.
Yeah, I feel like other holiday related names are kind of rare, and that Holly, I don't know why people would, I guess I understand why they're doing this, but I don't understand why they think it's so clever. Like Holly, you know her all year long. She's not a Christmas lady. She's not walking around. You know, it's not like one of these stores they have where it's a 24-hour, 365-day Christmas store. It's not like she works there or has got some MO that's totally Christmassy. She's just normal Holly all the time. So you need new friends. Maybe that's the advice.
The thing is, Holly, I know, has very prickly leaves. So I don't really know how that works, but maybe she... Maybe she's pointy. I don't know. That's the level of humor, really, that you can derive from someone's name. Holly sounds like Molly, which is another name. And it's like, well, what? It's not anything.
Yeah.
You could call yourself Hollister and sell trendy clothes.
Ooh. That I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not bad.
Whack a stir on the end. It works. Trust
I always
me.
Loved the name Hollister because it sounds like a dude's name in a Western.
Like, Hollister.
Yeah. Have you seen True Grit, dude?
Have I seen what? Sorry, what?
True Grit.
True Grit. No, I haven't yet. No, I have to.
Oh,
it's obviously Coen Brothers and Bridges, and you're like, oh, yes, please.
You're going to love
it's
it.
Good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Everyone's raving about it, but, you know.
So good.
Alas, I'm sure, it's out here.
I'm sure you've got some, you know, Movielicious coming up. You got to do that.
Probably, yeah. We'll probably do it. I don't know. We've got Best Of coming up next episode.
Oh,
so we're doing
nice.
Best for each year. But, yeah, True Grit.
True Grit
isn't out just yet by the looks of things. Can't see it.
But Hollister, it's like, you go tell Sheriff Hollister there's trouble in town, like that. Totally can hear
that'd be good. She should have a name changed to that now, because that'd be badass.
Do that, then people ask if you're in a Western. Well, thank you, Holly. You
have
a great
until February. Screw that.
Oh my gosh, what the crap's up with that?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
but Holly, yeah, I don't know, because what she was saying, she wanted to know what she can say to people. I mean, you just got to say something back about their name, because like I said, everyone's name has something.
Yeah,
so like, you know, give me a name and I'll throw him back.
Daryl.
Daryl Smarrel. He smells. Yeah. Throw me another one.
Okay. Frank.
Frank Spanks. Yeah. Next one.
All right. One more. Wellington.
Wellington. Well, that's easy. Smellington, obviously. Yeah. Easy.
That's
so just smack it back. Just, you know, return it to them. You know, see if they can take a bit of a backhand. That's a tennis term. I'm not saying a smack them. Well, maybe.
No. Well, maybe.
But yeah, you know, I think that would be good.
All right. Excellent advice. Maybe their best advice we've given on this show.
Maybe.
Way to go, Holly, with your cute voice and your terrible name. next call and our last call for the day. Somebody drunk dialed someone, and here's his story.
Hi, Scott and Terpster.
I take it back. A girl drunk. It's our regular caller. She calls all the time. And you know what? It's because I forgot. We haven't done a show in a while.
That's
and because we were the holidays and stuff. And I forgot that this was a female call.
Okay.
Anyway.
Enough, we can edit that.
Enough of that. Oh, for sure. Except I won't. But here it is.
No, you won't.
No, hypothetically speaking, and... Oh, I wish I was hypothetically speaking when I tell you this. A few weeks ago, I was on the Terps, so to speak, and sent off a very, very drunken / needy / paranoid email to a guy who I really, really quite like, who isn't Terpster, because I don't have his email for reasons I don't really need to go into here, as we've previously discussed. And... to his credit, he did email me back saying, that was nice, I don't quite feel the same way about you, but thanks anyway. And I apologised to him profusely, and he said it was fine, and we left it at that. However, I still really like him, and my question to you is there any chance of me having a relationship with this guy, or should I just... leave it and forget about it. Thank you for any advice you can pass to me, and keep up the very fantastic work.
All right. I still say with her voice, she should be able to get any dude she wants, but obviously he's probably a dude that lives near
he's
her.
He's probably exactly Scottish or something.
Yeah.
And he's all like, ach, no, ach. I sound just as Scottish as you. That
doesn't impress me, lass.
Or, yeah, he might be a dwarf as well.
He could be.
It's tricky. He's already said no. And that's why I kind of hesitate in terms of, you know, without seeing the email you sent and knowing if it was just a case of, whoa, okay, just no. Or if it was a case of that it just, honestly, it's just not meant to be. I don't know. You've had a stab at it already. Sometimes the drunken email is the best email.
Yeah, you know? It's the most honest, straight up exactly. thing. If that's not going to work, all the other pretentious stuff isn't. I feel like she's, you know, you don't want a borderline on stalking this dude.
No, because I think by the sounds of things, you're already borderline stalking me. But I don't know. It's cool. I need a tuxter at gmail.com. Sure. That's my email. Right. I say it all the time. It's fine. People can email me. But in all fairness, for this circumstance, I would say probably it's worth moving on. And I would say probably not to me because, again, just long distance, not going to work. Mm. But it's, I can't think of anything you can trick him into anything. As you said, you've been probably as honest as you could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Short of getting him drunk, no.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think I can add much. I just feel like she's done the thing that you would do to find out, and he has given his answer.
Yeah, and in fairness, it's a good way of doing it. You know, just come out and say, "Hey, do you want to hook up?"
Yeah. Yeah. Why not just cut through all that crap and see what happens? And you know what? It doesn't. His interest now doesn't necessarily reflect his future interests. So sometimes just giving it some space and having him go, I do have some good advice for this. When I got engaged, we had a 9-month engagement, as long as hell.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Could have had a baby in that time.
Well, there was a lot of reasons why we had that long. It was mostly because of scheduling work and college and other things that were coming to an end and beginning and trying to just get it all in the right place.
Plus, it's probably like an interest-free deal.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Let's hold up. Let's see if we can wait because that'd save us a fortune.
Yeah. I mean, all that kind of stuff played a role in the timing of it. But when it finally came around about 3 weeks before the wedding, I got cold feet, like frozen feet.
What?
So I called Kim on the phone, my wife, and I said, you know, I just don't know if I'm ready for this. I think this might be a mistake. I don't know if I'm ready for marriage. I don't remember. I was a total wuss, and I called her and said that.
I can't believe you did that.
I know. It was terrible. And she said, fine, let me know when you've had a change of heart, and hung up on me. Now, this is a seminal moment in my marriage, or my life, really. Because what happened in that moment was, A, I realized I was making a terrible mistake. And B, the reason why I was making a terrible mistake is this is the moment I knew I had found the person I wanted to marry and be with for the rest of my life, because she was not going to take my crap, get all needy, cry and moan about it. She was going to pull herself up by her bootstraps and keep moving forward. And that's the kind of person I need. Like, I needed somebody who's
doesn't need you.
Strong, who doesn't really need me in the end. Like
that's
I don't,
good. You make a good team.
Yeah, I don't want someone who's super needy and super, you know, oh, I can't do anything without my husband's whatever. I wanted strong, independent, smart, and that was her. And that was the most important thing that ever happened. And I very quickly called her back. I'm sorry. She didn't pick up right away either.
Yeah, I bet she made you wait. She probably so like, sorry. Don't wait. He'll be 15 minutes tops.
Yeah.
Oh, there the phone goes. That's number one. You can wait on that one.
Kind of.
Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. I was just talking to an ex-boyfriend of mine.
Yep.
You're like, oh, I changed my mind.
She even went out that weekend. She's like, you know what? I'm going on a date. You know, 3 weeks before a wedding, she says. I mean, and all of those things just seriously contributed to me going, oh, she's totally the right one. What am I doing? Why am I making this mistake? So,
yeah, to find you that. And I think sometimes the forbidden fruit, sometimes, you know, you see something that is available and you're like, oh, I don't want it. And all of a sudden, oh, you know, you're running out of connects. Okay, yep. Well, I now I do want to connect.
Yeah.
I know I didn't want one before, but if it's in short supply, I'll buy one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes that's all it is, you know.
Let him have that time to decide if you, okay, so you've made this attempt, and we realize that this call was made a while ago, and who knows what's happened since. But for the rest of you who are in this similar situation, make the attempt, the drunk email, have them turn you down. And then say, okay, well, all right, cool. And then kind of disappear a little bit, not act needy or desperate. And suddenly that guy might go, oh, well, shoot, maybe I, like you said, maybe I want that connect because now I can't get it. I don't know. It's worth trying.
It's worth a go. Exactly.
If you like him, go for it.
Otherwise, if you're a little bit like he's hot, but, you know, then I would say it might be worth, you know, moving on as well. Because there's no point wasting time. But maybe you can combine the two. Move on, and then who knows? maybe by you moving on, he'll realize what he was missing.
I'm still not convinced that the Kinect is worth buying. All of this being said, the thing is,
I play my Xbox. I have it plugged into my computer monitors, and I sit about like what 2 foot away from my screen.
Yeah.
And like for the Kinect, you need like what, like 10 foot, 12 foot.
You need a big old
and
room.
I'm thinking like, yep. I just don't have that space.
No. Nope.
So yeah, it would just be an expensive webcam for me. But I'm still contemplating it. I'm thinking like, oh, it is in short supply. Maybe right. I should get one.
That's funny. I do that same thing with my consoles. I do have a TV with one where the kids are on, but my PS3 and my 360 down here, I have on a 24-inch. Computer monitor that I can switch.
Yeah,
I've
got my PS3 is on my big TV, but that's because it's also a Blu-ray player and a network media player and stuff like that.
Right, right.
And to be honest with you, I'm more using it for that than for games, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But the Xbox 360, that's that's on the computer.
Nice.
I love it. It's beautiful. I got a new one. I got it sleek back. You know, when the new black.
Oh,
ones
you did. Just, nice, nice. Yeah.
And it is nice. It's sensual. That's the word I would use to describe.
You
my
should
head.
Be playing Super Meat Boy.
Should I?
That's so good.
Yeah, it looks like it's incredibly addictive.
It's incredibly addictive and amazingly frustrating. You want to kill people when you play it, but when you accomplish something, oh, it feels so good and you can't wait to do more. It's great. Anyway,
brilliant.
Enough of our game segment for the week, and that's enough of calls. Actually, that's everybody.
That is everyone. I think it's nice to be back doing this,
isn't it? Though
we missed last week because of the holidays.
Yeah.
And I think that it's good that, you know, everyone who's listening to this today has stuck with us.
Yeah.
So we've only got, what, like 5 left of this season?
I think so. 36 is the end. So today's, so we've got 4 or 5 left. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's getting towards the end of season 3 already. It just keeps whizzing by. And I'd just like to thank everyone who does take the time to download the show and listen to it. And obviously even more so to the people who send in their calls.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's been great. And so, thank you for the past year. It's crazy to think. I don't know when we started, but it's been
started. We started 31 episodes ago.
Yeah.
That's when we
with
started.
With however many breaks in between. So probably been going, you know, coming up on a year soon, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, we're getting awfully close. We also like to thank our the good folks on iTunes that leave us nice reviews. I got one here I want to read from Terry Hemstra.
Hemstra.
Here's her title. His voice is so dreamy, and so is that British guy's.
Aw, what?
I love listening to the show. It makes me want to come up with a hypothetical problem just so I can hear them speak. Scott is the best podcaster ever, and Terpster is the funniest man on Hypothetical Help podcast who speaks with a British accent. He is so charming, which is just an awesome bonus. Thank you, Scott and the T, for your brilliance and dedication. Isn't that nice?
That is really nice. And that's the thing. Thank you. Obviously, make sure you do leave us 5-star reviews or however many stars. But
yeah, whatever. We'll take whatever you got. You
do 5 stars. And, you know, that's cool. That's cool. I'm trying to load it up on my screen.
I could tell.
My iTunes just kept freezing.
I've learned I have a keen ear for when people are last second looking up iTunes reviews, including myself. You can always tell.
But it's terms of getting all sentimental. Oh, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone. It's beautiful. I'd like to thank my friends, my family. Okay. Right. So I'll read. What should I read? I'll read 2.
Oh, all right. Nice. Sure. Very nice.
Okay. So awesome tune, awesome show, part 2 from Seafoam Bubble 23. Thanks for the hypothetical tune help, guys. One of the best podcasts around. Keep it up, derp. Jack Uzi _UK, which is probably the most gangster of all the Jacks out there.
Yeah.
It's what the iPod was invented for. 5 stars. Scott and Terpster, 2 of the 3 wise men are still with us. Listen and you'll see what I mean. Thanks, guys.
Who's the 3rd wise man? Well, I don't get that.
I don't know, I think it's a Christmas one.
Oh, got it.
Wise men, and he's saying that 2 of them still exist. Probably the 3rd one. I don't know.
What would you bring? If you're a wise man, which of the gifts are you bringing?
Nintendo DSi.
I'm doing frankincense, but that works.
Yeah. Oh, frankincense. Nah, what? I don't know. What's myrrh? No one knows what
myrrh is. No one knows
what
myrrh is. Myrrh, maybe myrrh is, it's a DSi.
Yeah, probably. I think I'd go with gold then.
Here, Jesus. Here's your DS. Yay! Yeah. Anyway.
I would advise you not to play it too much because as soon as the battery runs out, you're going to have to wait a couple thousand years before you can recharge it.
Time-traveling wise men. I like that. That's a great pilot for some sort of TV show.
Marty, we gotta go back to the manger.
I don't know what happened, Marty. Anyway, save the clock.
Doc, I slept with Mary. What? Oh, no, you've ruined the whole Bible now.
That's the worst Marty McFly voice I've ever heard.
If you want a better one, you should download Telltale's Back to the Future
game. That first game's out, right? I got to play that.
Yeah, it's out. Yeah, it's out on Mac and PC.
Oh, got to play it. Oh. I really want it on the iPad, but all right, anyway.
Anyway.
And thus endeth another game segment.
Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah.
Is this a long show than normal? I don't know. I felt like
it's about normal. It's about normal, about 30 minutes. But hey, if you'd like to participate, there are ways to do it. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0GOB to send in your questions if you would like to do it on a regular phone line. Or you can email your hypothetical questions in MP3 or other audio formats to podcast@hypotheticalhelp.com. The site to visit is hypotheticalhelp.com. You can check out all our archives, comments, and whatnot. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/the_T for
that's
Terpster.
Me.
And
or
I'm
you can
at,
go to twitter.com/extralife.
That's correct. extralife. Use it now.
Sounds
use it
like
often.
A computer when you spell it.
Would you like to play a game?
But that- everyone loses unless you play chess.
Indeed.
In which case... slightly more strategic.
Yes. That movie still holds up, by the way.
It's a good film.
Yeah, it's not bad. So there you go, folks. Thank you so much for being here for episode, 31?
31.
We'll be here right back next week with episode 32. And until then, take care.
Bye-bye. You set the final score.
Oh, shite. All right, we're starting over again.
Should we go again? Let's go again.
All right, we're starting over. Oh, my gosh. Habit. Oh, I know why. I just looking at this stupid. Yeah, I know what I did there.
Yeah, I know what you did as well. You read the wrong name.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.